Okay. Lots of things happening today. We've been praising the Lord like we normally do. It's our mission focus. We took collections for a couple of our missionaries, the LeMays and the Cartwrights. You heard from one of our active missionaries who's back here right now preparing to go back and begin some more of the work. It also today is the anniversary of New Covenant Fellowship. So, happy anniversary to us. It was 34 years ago today, to the day, was the first service that we held next door in the big, great big room that's now back to being a warehouse, but it was called the warehouse, and you'll hear a little bit more about that a little later on. But the congregation is now 38 years old, but 34 years in this building. And so as I was preparing the message, I felt it was worthwhile sort of calling that to your minds, giving a little bit of a history about New Covenant, about the foundational principles that we talked about a few weeks ago, but a little bit more about the vision that originally was instilled in this body by Bob Yarborough and Robin Bales when they started this congregation 38 years ago, and then the first service in this building 34 years ago today. So, to start off, one of the few people, besides Becca, who was still here, but you probably don't remember those very first days, Bob and Marcy have been probably the longest attending here. So I've asked Bob to share a little bit about the very early history of New Covenant, and then I'll pick it up and bring it up to sort of where we are today.
So it looks like we're going to tag team. Well, I'm going to bring you the early days of New Covenant, actually from a little bit before New Covenant was started to, and I was supposed to cover the early days and let Don do everything, do the history after we came into this building, but I cheated on him, and I stole some things from him that I'll share with you as well. He's right. Marcy and I are probably the two people that have been a part of New Covenant the longest. And I put in my notes, kind of. And Marcy says, well, why kind of? I said, well, when New Covenant started, Marcy wanted to come to New Covenant. She felt very strongly about that. But I had volunteered to teach adult Sunday school class at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I had signed up for a year. And so I thought that I should live up to my commitment of a year and therefore continue to be at Emmanuel and teach the adult Sunday school class. But that didn't last very long. That arrangement didn't last very long because one Sunday morning as I was getting ready to teach the adult Sunday school class, the leadership of Emmanuel came by and said, we don't think that you need to continue as a teacher here at Emmanuel. And I thought, that's kind of strange. So the reality is I lost my career as a teacher, but I started a career of learning how to know God as a personal and intimate friend. So it really started a whole new part of my life. So I got fired, but I also kind of got hired back again. You know, in the 1970s, 80s, probably into the early 1990s, the charismatic movement was going great guns. God, through his Holy Spirit, was healing people, ministering to people everywhere, right? And the church was indeed changing in the way it looked and the power that it was demonstrating out to the people. Church was no more like where I grew up, which was a little Methodist church, and we sang three hymns, had a prayer. If anybody preached longer than 15 minutes, we needed to find a different preacher. You laugh, Becca.
I would be kicked out in a second.
And then we go home. So in 1979, Marcy and I started to look around for a church that we really thought was serving the Lord more so than the church that we were currently attending. And we ended up at Emmanuel Baptist Church under the leadership of Bob Yarborough. And then in 1982, a gentleman showed up who happens to be Robin Bales, and he was the minister of music. And if any of you were around then at Emmanuel, he brought a song to Emmanuel that was called Majesty, Worship His Majesty. The whole congregation would stand up and sing out like I'd never heard before. We're going to get to that. It was just such a beautiful thing to see, because we were all joined as one singing Majesty, Worship His Majesty. And it became the theme song of Emmanuel. And people looked forward to when Robin would get up and lead everybody in singing that song. It was just an amazing experience. It really was. And it was about that time that the leadership of Emmanuel Baptist Church decided to take me on as a deacon. And as a result of that, I got to sit in on all the meetings that led up to the point where Bob and Robin left New Covenant. And, you know, I had a lot of respect and I guess the right word is honor for the leadership of Emmanuel. But what really amazed me in these days is how people could have such a strong feeling about things, and then they did strange things, and they caused great division as a result of that. I have to admit, it didn't make any sense to me. And what really happened is that as I looked at the situation, it was very evident to me that Bob and Robin had one goal, and that was to lead people, you and I, right into the throne room of God. And the way they felt that that could be done is through worship. And Robin was worship, and Becca, you follow in his footsteps, lead us right into the throne room of God, and then through the word. And I know you've heard Pastor Bob preach, but he can really expound on the word of God. But some of the leadership of Emmanuel didn't feel comfortable about you put your hands in your pocket and hold on tight. Literally, you put your hands in your pocket and you hold on tight. Nor did they want any manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And that became, in fact, I was in the meeting where they decided that they just, it wasn't going to be tolerated at Emmanuel. And I thought, this is really strange. I didn't even know how to react to that, because I thought people ought to be able to worship the way they want to worship, right? But they actually did ask Bob to leave. And so on November 18th, Becca being 4 days old, right, the first meeting of New Covenant was held at the Holiday Inn in Manassas. And I don't have any idea how many people were actually there. But I know there was, I thought it was 300 or more, right? What I remember being told is there was standing room only. So I don't know where they put you, Becca, but. And I don't know whether you all remember or not, but our first semi-permanent place was across the street where Yeshua Church of God in Christ now meets. And we met there for a short time, less than a year, I think, because it just turned out to be too small. So then we started meeting in Prince William County Schools. And during this time, in 1985, Jeff Ling joined us as part of the ministry team as a youth pastor. And then in 1988, we moved into this building. And Pastor Bob wanted to call this the warehouse. And the reason he wanted it to be called the warehouse is because he felt that this place would be a place for storing, processing, and shipping out the Word of God in our own area and around the world. And so from the very beginning, you can see that NCF had a strong focus on missionary work, like Ego is doing. Right? It was a focus of this church. And at that time, there were about probably 1,300 people that came together on Sunday morning, two services. At times, it might have been a little more than that, 1,400 or so. But we had a fairly large population at that point in time. And then I remember, and you can actually find this, I'll tell you about it here in a minute. But in the fall of 1988, there was a pastor, Eric von Lumen, I think that's the way you say his name, who had been storing and processing, meaning that he was here as a part of our congregation, right? He was sent out to start a church in Luray, Virginia. And so we would always pray for them, give them covering, and then they would go out and start a New Covenant-like church in various areas across Northern Virginia. And, of course, each time that happened, we lost some people because they went with that particular pastor. And as I remember, it was only a couple years later, and I have Robin's laptop, and I've been searching through it. But we had another pastor that was storing, processing while at New Covenant, and then he was shipped out again with the blessing of New Covenant. Unfortunately, I couldn't find his name. I'm still looking, by the way. I haven't given up. But when he left, he had a fair number of people in the congregation that were actually a part of his congregation originally, and they came to New Covenant to learn about the power of the Holy Spirit, learn about what New Covenant was like, and therefore he wanted to carry that out in the church that he started. So there was a second church that started, and I would guess it's probably 89 or 1990 when that happened. So each time, right, that these things happened here at New Covenant, they were really following Pastor Bob's goal for New Covenant Fellowship, and that was to be able to be a place where people could come and then be shipped out to spread the gospel and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. So that was part of the very beginning of New Covenant, was this idea of not just being a church to be a church, but it was a church to equip people and to allow those people then to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in 1989, Carlos Dorsey joined New Covenant as the leader of Concerned Christians for New Life. I always enjoyed working with Carlos. He was I was going to say fun individual, but he had such a technique. He loved helping people, but he liked helping people that were willing to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. He was less willing to help people if they wouldn't yield their life to Jesus Christ. And he did it in such a wonderful way that it just was amazing to me. God certainly gifted Carlos in his ability to do that. And I'll always remember two things that Carlos always said. He said, "I'm not giving a handout. I'm giving you a hand up." And the other thing he always said, when you left Carlos, The peace of Jesus be with you. Always. The peace of Jesus be with you. Now, always remember those two things from Carlos, because they meant a lot to me, and I'm sure to other people as well. And I think Don's going to talk to you a little later about the rest of some of the history of New Covenant, but I wanted to kind of finish up on the topic of shipping out. You know, in January of 2000, Jeff Ling was left New Covenant to start Clear River. And then in 2003, another Jeff Bowen, right, was shipped out to minister as part of Hope Planet Land and Sea. And so again, we were losing members on each one of these, but in each one, we were spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to a much wider community than just here in Manassas. And so as I look at this, right, and I have to admit, I'm the old timer here. But the way I look at this, I can see God's hand at work spreading the gospel not only here in Manassas, but across Northern Virginia and actually across the world, as some of the things that Eagle is doing and our other missionaries as well. What it reminds me of is Acts 1:8, right? It says, in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. In Manassas, in Northern Virginia, and in the uttermost parts of the world. This church was fulfilling Acts 1:8. And it was an opportunity. We still have that opportunity, by the way, but it was an opportunity that I think was unequaled anyplace else because of the number of churches that we started and the number of people we had influence with. And so today we're few in number. Yep, we are. But I think we're still a place where people can come, store up the love of God for his people, be processed. I kind of didn't like the word processed, but my term would be prepared, right, and then be shipped out. And so just look at the impact that New Covenant has had. Four new churches, missionaries since the very beginning that have spread all over the world, right? And all of that spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church is not just the ministry that happens inside of these walls, but New Covenant is a church that ministers to the community, to Northern Virginia, and to all parts of the world. And so just think about the lives that are, not past tense, are being touched through what has transpired when New Covenant Fellowship was founded and got started. It's a history that was made possible by listening to the Lord in all things and moving forward when he directs us. And so I'm just reminded of John 5:19. And just as Christ himself said, it applies to us as well. We here at New Covenant can do nothing on our own, but only what we see the Father doing. And that, to me, is the backbone of New Covenant. We do what we see the Father doing. We listen and be obedient. And that is what made New Covenant and continues to make New Covenant different. And being different in this case is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Thank you, Bob. I'm going to pick up with that a little bit, because what he described was the vision that originated with Bob and Robin as they left Emmanuel and came here to be able to exercise freedom of the Spirit, freedom of what God was calling them to do. That vision continues, and that's really the title of today's presentation that we're making is The Vision Continues. That we're going to come back to the fact that today's the 34th anniversary of the first celebration in this building, but what he described, what Bob just described, was the motivation behind the founding of New Covenant. And so I'm going to share a little bit more detail about with you from all of that, since Bob was there, but I was able to do some research myself and find a little bit more resources to be able to pull in firsthand writings from Bob Yarborough and Robin Bales that describe exactly what was going on in their minds at that time. What was driving them to come into this building and to establish and continue New Covenant Fellowship? And it's an interesting resource that I was able to pull up. When we had our 30th anniversary, I pulled in some archives and some information that had been saved for years by some of our members. And I pulled it together, and some of them had saved the New Covenant Conquest. And it's a newsletter that was published from 1988 to 1989. And I have a number of issues of this, and I brought in some of them today. But there was, each month when they put this out, the pastors here, Carlos, Jeff Ling, Robin Bales, and Bob Yarborough at the time, wrote articles for this. And then their wives also wrote articles from their perspective on what they saw going on in the congregation at that time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quote from some of their writings and show you how today those same visions apply to us. Okay? So first off, the original vision, September 1988, the conquest, Pastor Bob wrote these words, and I'm quoting, "Renewal in its purest form is a fresh vision of the revelation of Christ and his body. Throughout the history of the church, men have had a glimpse of the mystery of Christ in us as the hope of glory. This comes not by the instruction of flesh and blood, but by revelation from the Father in heaven. The vision, like Abraham's, is of a city whose builder and maker is God. The problem is that our longing to see that city come down from God gets us over into the flesh, and we begin to build our own version of that city. Many Ishmaels have been created by sincere servants of God who longed for the promised Isaac. And so we observe that men start with a pure vision. That vision finds expression in a movement. And then the movement takes on permanent features and becomes an institution. With the passing of time, the institution tends to become inflexible and unchangeable. When this happens, fresh revelation or insight becomes a threat. Thus, the prophet becomes the enemy, and the Spirit of God is quenched. There will therefore need to be a constant confrontation with the spirit of institutionalism if we are to move along with the Spirit of God in our quest for the New Jerusalem. The church then is not primarily an organization, but a spiritual fellowship." Thus the name, New Covenant Fellowship, by the way. "Organization is distinctly secondary. I doubt if Paul or anyone else in the New Testament times ever organized a church in anything like the modern sense of an organized church. What took place, it would seem, from the record, is that Paul and others went into communities and preached. People were converted and just naturally got together and functioned as a spiritual fellowship or church. So far as there was organization, it was simple and subordinate. The extent and form of church organization should be determined by the nature of the church as a fellowship. Organization should be had only as the organization can be utilized to promote the ends of fellowship. I believe that the Lord is calling us as a fellowship to keep our focus on the vision of a church that is being built by Jesus. We must resist thinking of ourselves even as a movement, and certainly not seek to be an institution. We are part of an organism that is living and growing, not an organization that is static and dead. Renewals call for new wineskins and for constant care to keep the wineskins soft and pliable in the hands of Jesus. Thus, we must give up the security of fixed institutions for the uneasiness of ever-changing forms. The critical test is that of life. Does our present form give expression to the life of Jesus? Whenever the answer is no, then we must seriously question the validity of any form. If it can be renewed and made alive again, it may be continued. If God is showing us some better wineskin, then we must abandon the old and receive the new with joy. Such wisdom. And yet, so true even today. And we can see today some of the vestiges of that coming down to us and how perhaps we've lost some of that at times. And we tend to do some things that try to institutionalize things a little bit. Perhaps we need to be a little bit more flexible. Now, how about the reasons for New Covenant and the reasons for this building and the reason why they called it the warehouse? Bob alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I'm going to give you the quote from the article written in, again, in September 1988, the same edition of that Conquest, written by Robin Bales this time. He wrote an article that explained why the NCF pastors had decided, after much deliberation, to go with a warehouse, of all places, for our building. And here are the reasons, in his own words. There are also several reasons why this is a good place for a church to be from our perspective as pastors. This will be a home for our church that is in the marketplace, meaning in the local community of businesses, in the local community of active people. We see that this is the perfect opportunity for us to really express to our community, ourselves, and the world. There it is again. There's that Acts 1:8. That this is a gathering place for the church, all of the church. We will continue to call it the warehouse, capital T, capital W, because we desire to see this building used as a place, and here it is, for the storage, processing, and shipping out of the parts of the body of Christ that are entrusted to us. That's not just the word, but it's all of you. It's the people who over the many, many years here have come in, learned, developed an intimate relation with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God Almighty, have then taken that and gone on somewhere else. And they share that love of God as they go out from this place. And here in Robin's words again, they are entrusted to us so that they will be equipped to hear God and obey him in the doing of the work of the kingdom. This is why we teach the prophetic ministry class, to learn how to hear God and how to obey. Hear and obey. You're going to hear that again and again and again. That has been from the very foundational days of New Covenant, one of the messages that has come through so clearly from the Holy Spirit. Continuing then from Robin's words, God gave us the vision of this church in a warehouse almost 2 years ago. This is 1988, so it's about 1986 roughly, not too long after they started. It lay dormant for a year, and then God set it into motion last fall. It has been a year since we began to move seriously in this direction. In many ways, this has been a long year of waiting. Does that sound familiar? When we wanted to run on ahead and stepping back and letting God do things that we wanted to do for him. In the human, this has sometimes been trying, but in the final analysis, God's way is the best way. Several times we have been disappointed when things didn't go as fast as we wanted them to, but from the perspective of where we are now, we can see that there have been good things that have come from the delays and blessings that we wouldn't have known if we had rushed ahead of God. We have truly been on a road untread and untried for these last several months. And then this is the way we have traveled from the beginning, 3.5 years ago. We will continue to travel the way our Lord Jesus leads us, mapped out before us or not. Hang on tight, The train's picking up speed. So in a sense, I coined a phrase for this. I call it warehouse evangelism. That's really what New Covenant is all about. This has been a vision of New Covenant from the beginning, from the time 34 years ago we came into this building as a physical manifestation of the whole feel that New Covenant was founded upon. And this article from Robin explains it very well and tells you exactly where that comes from. Now, I talked about the vision continues. That doesn't mean that it can't morph a little bit and change and be simplified and streamlined a little bit. In the Conquest, every month they put in a listing of what they call the vision statement for New Covenant. Now, I'm going to read it to you, and it's a little long, but this is the vision that guided New Covenant in those first four, actually turns out to be about the first 8 or 9 years. Here it is. New Covenant Fellowship is a community of believers who have found new life through Jesus Christ. We have acknowledged his lordship and have committed ourselves to this local expression of his body. We seek to be a vehicle for the demonstration of God's kingly rule in the earth, proclaiming his praise, announcing his reign, sharing our lives and doing the works he has called us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. We desire to be instruments for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master and prepared for every good work. To this end, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We are committed to the whole body of Christ and to the historic Christian faith as contained in the Apostles' Creed. We desire to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with all those who call upon the Lord. Now the scriptures upon which that based come from 2 Timothy 2:21, Colossians 1:28, and 2 Timothy 2:22. And if you go back and look at those, you'll see that there are tenets in there that were woven through this long vision statement. Now, a number of years later, around 2001-2002, in fact, Pastor Bob was there when this change occurred, and that long vision statement was distilled down to its essence, and it's what we now have here as our vision statement for this generation of New Covenant. As a people of his presence, we are committed to intimacy with God, with one another, and extending the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, that little short bit has an awful lot in there because it really captures all of those original thoughts that were explained in a lot more lines. But it's a lot easier to remember. But it's just as valid. It's just as valid as what they had originally started with, and it covers all the bases. It covers everything. Now, Bob Yarborough had a vision for a church built by Jesus. That vision, I believe, is alive and well. Now, you look at those words that I just read earlier when you listen to them, they are both reassuring and also perhaps a little frightening. Reassuring because they offer hope for the future for a body that seeks God with all their heart and seeks to allow ourselves to be built by Jesus, giving life to him here on earth. Being his hands and his eyes and his feet here on this earth today. But it also is a little frightening because we may at times need to give up things, organizations, practices, routines that have given us security. And sometimes we need to go into a little area where we're less secure, out of our comfort zones a little bit. But in all things, we are led by God. And if that's where he leads you into uncharted waters, then that's where we go. Now, Robin's warehouse evangelism. I do not believe that our belief in this and our intentions have changed down till today, even though perhaps we need to dip ourselves in that water a little bit again and refresh ourselves in it and be more effective at it. I think that we probably could do better at it. But that's sort of why I think God moved our hearts to do this message today, to let everyone know where did we come from here on this anniversary of the founding of this congregation, to be able to refresh ourselves and to rededicate ourselves to the message that started 38 years ago. Another thread of continuity that you've heard already, and I'm going to emphasize it one more time, is our reliance on the leading of God. We have said often that Jesus here is our senior pastor and all the rest of us are his associates. And we still believe that today. Now that, again, is one of those institutions that sort of ruffled some feathers at one point with institutional churches and denominational churches, because they're always asking, who's your senior pastor? And if you tell them Jesus, they sort of, wait a minute, no. I mean, who do we talk to? Well, yeah. It's a different organizational structure. And that structure has been here since day one, because always we have sought to be observant, hear, and obey. Listen to what God and the Holy Spirit are saying and obey, and then do that. You can see that the roots of that concept go deep at New Covenant. And we are really sincere about that. Now, there's another thread of continuity that came up in one of these, and it's in the April 1989 conquest. And Robin wrote this one again, and he describes how New Covenant came to incorporate healing prayer, the healing ministry, within our services, because that wasn't something that was being done where they were previously. Turns out that Bob Yarborough and Robin attended a James Robison Bible Conference in Dallas in 1988, where they heard John Wimber and Jim Hilton teach on the subject of healing. Now, if you know who John Wimber is, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he had an amazing ministry of moving in the Holy Spirit, including healing ministry. Well, they went down and heard it from him. He was there teaching person at the conference. So what a blessing that would be. When I went through training, my wife and I went through training from John Wimber, it was through videotapes because he was already passed on by that time. But we got the training, though, and saw it. And even through the tapes, it was amazing. Well, Bob and Robin came back here, and they brought that spark with them. They brought that flame with them. And they started to include in our services a prayer of healing for people in the congregation, led by words of knowledge. And all of a sudden, the words of knowledge that you saw so often coming into our congregation, and Robin was really, really good at that, have words of knowledge, and then people would come forward, and they would pray for them, and then they would amazingly be healed. And the article lists several specific examples of that, things that happened in there. In fact, the very first time that Robin had this happen in the service, that they brought this in, people lined up in the aisles. And the first time that he laid hands on somebody and did it, they went down in the spirit. Some people call it being slain in the spirit. And Robin had seen it before. He had heard about it, but he had never had it happen when he prayed for somebody. And this is the first time ever that it happened. And he goes, whoa. Like John Wimber, when he had that happen with him in his own ministry, said, hey, I'm doing the stuff. That's what he was looking for. And it happened. And it was like, this is real. Okay, here's Robin's word about what was going on with that. All right. Where was it? Here we go. Here's the words that he wrote in this article. In all of these situations, just described several healings that had occurred. We have never doubted that it is God's desire to heal all sickness and disease. We see that we are still learning how to hear God more clearly and how to obey what we hear more diligently. There it is again, hear and obey. Regardless of results, for these are still in God's hand. As we continue to hear and obey, we will continue to see more and more of the miraculous healing power of God in our midst. That's the key. That's the key. The practice continues here today at New Covenant. I mentioned that Patty and I went through the training. When we went through, it was through Shepherd's Heart Bible College in Fairfax. But the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, that same desire for God to heal all diseases, still in existence today. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed His mind. And so we continue to incorporate that here at New Covenant. It is fundamental to who we are and what we do. You want to add something?
Remember when my mom was having heart issues and they were going to do a bypass on her? And we asked Robin and Bob and Jeff Ling, I think it was, to anoint a cloth and pray for my mom. And we went home to Ohio, and she was getting ready to go into surgery. And we told her about it, and she said, yes, we could pray for her. We laid the cloth on her chest, and we prayed. And she went in for surgery and came out rather quickly because they take x-rays before the surgery, compare them to the ones that caused the surgery, and the x-rays had changed. Someone had already done a bypass on my mother. So that's just a testimony of the kind of things that were happening. They weren't even present. They sent the cloth, just like the scriptures.
Paul the Apostle did the same thing. Hear and obey. That should sound familiar to you. And just as Bob mentioned earlier, and was mentioned, I'm going to mention it again, John 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. Similar kind of thought in John 12:49. It says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Yep, hear and obey. Don't run out in front of God. Listen and let Him lead you. He's not going to push you over a cliff. He's out in front of us on all things. That's the difference. That's the difference. Now, Bob mentioned missions already, and this is a mission focus. That's why our month of anniversary is also the date when we go through the month of mission focus, because it is so ingrained in our DNA. We heard from one of our own missionaries earlier today. New Covenant continues to have a heart for mission work. Because of some changes in the size of the congregation and our budget has changed over the years, we now have a fewer number that we support every month, but we still support every month a number of missionaries, just as we did from the very beginning. We actually tithe. Some of you don't know, but New Covenant tithes all the general donations that we get. That tithe goes to the mission trust, and that goes into mission work around the world. But our heart is the same for it as it has been from day one. So as we celebrate the anniversary of New Covenant today, I hope that you all can appreciate the deeper purpose, the vision that has guided this congregation from the very beginning. The vision of New Covenant has not changed. The building where we meet has changed. We've gone through a series of places, but here we are back at the warehouse again. Leadership has changed even for a variety of different reasons. The numbers have changed, but the Holy Spirit is the same now and forever. Praise God. My prayer for us is that we never lose sight of that as a congregation. Never lose the personal, intimate relationship with God that New Covenant is all about. And I'll read to you from 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as wise master builder, this is Paul writing now, As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Bob Yarbrough and Robin Bales, Carlos, Jeff Ling, Jeff Bowen, all those others that went on before us laid that foundation, and we are building upon it. That is our task. That's our calling. That's what we are to listen and obey to be able to continue to build on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm going to pray a prayer of rededication. And then the other thing that I brought with me, I found a copy of the service of dedication dated November 20th, 1988. And it's the little give and take that they had that day. And it came out of, they prayed a responsive prayer out of Psalms. And they sang a couple of hymns. And the last song that they ended up with was "The Church's One Foundation." Now, if I would have been on the ball and really ahead of time and not doing this last minute late last night, I would have given Becca a heads up that we were going to do that. So we're going to do it a cappella instead today. And you're going to have to bear with me trying to lead all this. And so stand with me. We're going to get to that. But first we want to pray. Lord God, we just thank you for the gift of our forefathers, those who went before us, Lord God, and laid a perfect foundation based on you, Lord God. For on that rock we can build a church. On that faith in Jesus Christ, on that faith in God the Father that transcends time and transcends institutions, Lord God, and movements. That spirit, Lord God, that you gave us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, we today, as New Covenant Fellowship here in Manassas, Virginia, we rededicate ourselves to hearing your word, to obeying your word in our lives, Lord God, to allowing us, Lord God, to be led of you so that we can build layer upon layer, solid stone, Lord God, that will be immovable when the storms come. And Lord, just open our hearts, open our minds to reach those who need to be developed in that relationship with you, to need to be matured and discipled, Lord God. And then, Lord God, if you lead them to plant more of your gospel message elsewhere, Lord, we bless that work. We bless their hands, Lord God. Bless them on their way, Lord God. And let us, Lord, continue to be a place where people are nurtured, stored up, and then sent forth, Lord God, in various ways to spread the gospel message so that we truly can, Lord God, be a people of the presence, committed to intimacy with you, committed to intimacy with each other in fellowship, Lord God, in Christian fellowship, and then extending the kingdom of God on this earth. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen.